Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast or podcast, where our lives are being enriched and nourished by the word of God. Hallelujah. So we've been studying remission of sins, and then today we're going to make progress on our present study in the series concerning confession of sins. Concerning confession of sins. But then before we go into that, something strongly impressed on my heart by the Spirit of God to share is how that there's a right attitude, there's a right response that we ought to have towards the Word of God, towards the good news. Something that is so terrible today and prevalent in the body of Christ is how believers have been wired to be hostile towards the good news. Believers have been wired and trained to detest sound doctrine, to detest glad tidings. So that when a man hears the good news, the first response is awkward. Hallelujah. But then the Bible teaches us the right attitude, the right culture, the right attitude to have towards the good news. When you hear what Jesus has done for you, there's a way to respond. Glory to Jesus. There's a way to respond. So imagine I say, God has forgiven you your sins, and the first thing that comes to your mind is, what about this person that is sinning? What about other folks that have not changed? What about if I continue to sin and things like that? See, that's not how to respond to the message of Christ. Hallelujah. It's a terrible culture. It's a terrible place to be, that when a man hears good news, the first thing that comes to his mind is not gratitude, but, you know, thinking about how that good news can lead him to become licentious, lead him to become careless or reckless in his lifestyle. It doesn't make sense. It's like having somebody hand you a car, and then you say, this car gift, are you giving me this car gift because you want me to be a reckless driver? It doesn't make sense. The first thing that comes to your mind is thanksgiving. There's an attitude. And you see, if you don't learn this, if as a believer you've gotten to a point, or a church person, you've gotten to a point where when you hear the good news, forgiveness, salvation in Christ, you know, deliverance from every power of darkness, and the first thing that comes to your mind is how, you know, somebody somewhere is using it licentiously, somebody somewhere is taking this message for granted, you are in a terrible place. Praise God. You are in a terrible place. Your conscience has been ruined and destroyed, and you must get in the process of recovering your conscience from this disaster. Because there's an attitude you must have. The right response towards the good news is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Praise God. Thanksgiving. If the first time you hear, if at the mention of the word grace, or the first time you hear the word grace, the first thing that comes to your mind is, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You are in a terrible place as a Christian. Before Paul wrote Romans chapter 6, he had written Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 5. In the which he had explained the grace of God. In fact, in just the previous chapter, chapter 5 of Romans 6:1, Paul already says in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So, Paul is not saying that sin is able to snuff out grace. Paul already shows us in scriptures, shows us in his letter, that the grace of God abounds much more than sin can ever abound. Glory be to God. So it's a terrible place to be when you hear the good news, when you hear the glad tidings of what Jesus has done, and the first thing you are thinking of is how to merit it, is how to live a life that really justifies, you know, what Jesus has done for you. No, you are meant to respond with gratitude and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. So this idea of preaching against the grace of God, preaching against what Jesus has done, and emphasizing the place of people's works for salvation is breeding a lot of self-righteous believers. Amen. A lot of self-righteous believers. And it's also breeding this attitude, or, you know, conduct of ingratitude. It's promoting an unhealthy conduct of ingratitude. Believers are not grateful. I tell you, you are forgiven, and you have not sat down to think about what I just said. You've not sat down to reason concerning the things I've shared with you. You've not sat down to appreciate God deeply for what he has done. The first thing in your mind is, okay, do you mean I can start seeing it? Something is wrong with you already. And you must begin to recover yourself from that syndrome. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 1. Okay, it's not Psalms, it's Psalm. a collection, the collection, the entirety of the collection is what is called Psalms. So, but one of the Psalms is Psalm. Hallelujah. So let's say Psalm 103. Glory to Jesus. Psalm 103. Hallelujah. See, there's an attitude, there's a culture required of us as believers. Psalm 103 from verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Have you seen? Bless the Lord, O my soul. There's an attitude of thanksgiving, of gratitude. There's an attitude that's required. It is gratitude and thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Glory be to God. When a man encounters the good news, he ought to rejoice. He ought to be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. But these days, preachers have been able to suppress this culture, this attitude, this healthy response towards the gospel, and they put in men negative emotions, skepticism, doubts, all manner of questioning. Glory be to God. Man hears the good news, the first thing in his head is how to fight it, is how to point fingers at others. He misses out on gratitude, on thanksgiving. He misses out on an opportunity to give thanks to God and to rejoice for what he has done in Christ Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. There's an attitude. Hallelujah. There's an attitude. And you must always be ready to respond with this prescribed attitude from the word of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 1. I'll read from verse 1. Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So at the thought of being blessed in Christ Jesus, we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. What does it mean? It means praise be unto our God. That is, we respond with praises and thanksgiving. When we consider and think on, think about what Jesus has done for us, we respond with gratitude and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. God has predestined us to the praise of the glory of his grace. Hallelujah. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Glory be to God. There's an attitude. We ought to be filled with thanksgiving when we hear what Jesus, when we hear the truth about what Jesus has done for you and I. We ought to be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. Glory be to God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. There's an attitude. There's an attitude. So don't become self-righteous. Don't become ungrateful. Don't become ungrateful. In the long run, it's going to hurt you so deeply. It's going to destroy your conscience. That's if your conscience is not yet destroyed and ruined. There are believers who cannot appreciate the grace of God. They are always obsessed with arguments, always pointing fingers at people whenever they hear the word grace. They are looking at one bishop, one pastor somewhere, one guy somewhere, one Christian, one fellow, one neighbor that is doing this, that is doing that in spite of grace of God. I mean, they are missing the whole point. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 12. Bible says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Giving thanks to the Father. Giving thanks to the Father. Giving thanks to the Father upon the discovery of the fact that God has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We burst out in thanksgiving and gratitude unto God. Hallelujah. You see, the only way to respond to the goodness of God is thanksgiving. Hallelujah. It's thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. And then verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. The only attitude, the only response that is healthy towards the gospel, towards the glad tidings, is thanksgiving, gratitude. Hallelujah. That's not when to begin to act like one of God's uncles and aunties. Start sniffing out things in people's lives. That's when to focus on your own life, focus on the grace you have received, and respond with thanksgiving. Burst out in thanksgiving and rejoice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Thank God for forgiveness in Christ. Thank God for the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. And you see, the reason why a lot of people are not always responding with thanksgiving is because they become self-righteous. You are not seeing yourself as being in need of what Jesus has come to do. Hallelujah. You are seeing yourself as being better than somebody whom you consider to be taking the grace of God for granted. You are seeing yourself as somebody who is doing better, who is walking. I mean, who has some moral qualifications. Glory be to God. But the moment you discover that you were lost and you were irredeemable by your works, you would respond with the right attitude. I want to plead with you. I want to implore you to possess the right attitude and the right conduct towards the gospel. Whenever you hear the gospel, respond with thanksgiving and gratitude. Glory be to God. So I'm going to continue from where we stopped yesterday. Today we're going to be in the epistles and then see how forgiveness is put in the past tense in the epistles. And this is why we don't plead for forgiveness in Christ. Forgiveness is a done deal. It's a past tense reality. It came to pass already. We're not trying to get it. We got it already. Because Jesus died and rose again and we have faith in him. Matthew 26:28, this is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Because Jesus died, our sins are forgiven. Romans chapter 4, glory to God. Romans in chapter 4, I'll read from verse 1 down to 8. Bible says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Verse 7, point of emphasis. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. Hallelujah. And whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. It says the man whose sins are forgiven is the blessed man. This man is the man in Christ. Hallelujah. His sins are forgiven. That word forgiven is the word aphemi. In the Greek, it means to send forth, to send away. Sin is not imputed. Sin is taken away. And such a man is referred to as a blessed man in the sight of God. Hallelujah. He is blessed because he won't be in need of forgiveness anymore. He has been blessed with forgiveness. Hallelujah. He is a possessor of God's forgiveness. He is blessed because he's been forgiven. He won't be in need of forgiveness. He's been blessed with the forgiveness that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So forgiveness is in the past tense. The man has been forgiven. Glory be to God. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Forgiveness is in the past tense in the New Testament, and this is why we don't plead for forgiveness. We only believe and, you know, take God's word for what it says and for what it means. We believe and we affirm that we are forgiven in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 2 from verse 13, Bible says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having forgiven you all trespasses. It won't be all trespasses if it's just about your past. It is all trespasses because it's about your past, present, and future. The blood of Jesus has catered for the sins of the past, of the present, and of the future. Someone says, no, really, it's just the past. Well, the question is this. When Jesus died for sins, you were in the future. Right? So if Jesus died only for the sins of the past, how come you got saved by the same sacrifice? Because when he died, you were in the future. Hallelujah. If the sacrifice of Jesus only catered for past sins, then everybody that was born after Jesus died cannot be saved. The reason why the same sacrifice that was offered when we were not born, when we were not there, is the same sacrifice that has catered for our sins today. is because that sacrifice caters for sins past, present, and future. Glory be to God. So he has forgiven all trespasses. Hallelujah. And that's the idea of Jesus not imputing sin. That's the idea of God not imputing sin. Sins are not going to be imputed because all sins have been forgiven. Glory be to God. All have been forgiven. Hallelujah. And now it says, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, in the same verse, it says, he has made you alive together with him. As long as you are alive to God, your forgiveness is guaranteed. Hallelujah. This forgiveness involves being made alive unto God. So as long as you have eternal life, forgiveness is guaranteed. As long as you have eternal life, the forgiveness you have is constant. Glory be to God. Because this forgiveness involves you being made alive to God. Sin made you dead. Glory to God. He says you were dead in your trespasses, but now you are made alive by forgiveness. Hallelujah. So sin brought spiritual deadness, but now you've been made alive by the forgiveness you have in Christ Jesus. So as long as you are alive to God, as long as you have the gift of eternal life, you are always forgiven. Forgiveness remains a perpetual blessing. Forgiveness remains your inheritance, your lot in Christ Jesus. As long as you have life, as long as you have the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. So that means if you ever be in the need of forgiveness, that means you are now dead again and you need to be raised back to life. Glory be to God. But thank God we don't die anymore in Christ Jesus, because we are passed from death into life once and for all. John chapter 5 verse 24. Whoever hears me and believes in him who sent me shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Hallelujah. We have passed from death to life. So there's no dying anymore. There's no spiritual death anymore. We have passed from death to life once and for all. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So forgiveness involves having the gift of eternal life. As long as a man is alive to God, we can't say there's a sin problem. Praise God. Because when there was a sin problem, men were estranged from the life of God. Men were alienated from the life of God. Glory be to God. Men were separated from God. So as long as there's a union, as long as there's being made alive unto God, as long as you remain alive unto God in Christ Jesus, there is nothing like you being in need of forgiveness. That's a proof that you are forgiven. Hallelujah. That's a proof that you have been forgiven. Sin brought a separation. Glory to God. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Quickly. Ephesians in chapter 4. Hallelujah. We'll come back to Colossians 2. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at how sin brought a separation. I'll read from verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Have you seen that sin brought about alienation from the life of God? Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. So sin brought about alienation. Glory to God. Men were alienated from the life of God. There was a separation. There was no union. There was no relationship. Ephesians in chapter 2 from verse 1. And you made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Have you seen? We were dead in sins and trespasses. Hallelujah. We were dead. We were estranged from the life of God. Glory be to God. Colossians in chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Bible says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Hallelujah. So you see that sin brought a separation. So as long as a man is alive unto God, as long as a man remains reconciled with the Father, we can't say such a man is in need of forgiveness, because that reconciliation, that being made alive unto God in itself, is a proof that you are the forgiving man. Hallelujah. It's a proof that you are the forgiving man. Glory be to God. So back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians 2, 13. So we see that the forgiveness involves being made alive unto God. Being made alive unto God. Hallelujah. So, and then also, we see something else that Paul mentions in that particular portion of the Bible, Colossians 2. Look at verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So we see that in this forgiveness also, God has taken the handwriting of requirements that was against us out of the way, which speaks of the law. You know, it was the law that was imputing sin. Romans chapter 5 verse 13, Bible says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed until the law. Hallelujah. Sin was not imputed without the law. Romans chapter 5 verse 13. So the law has been taken out of the way. Right now, sin cannot be imputed. That means we are free from every accusation. We are free from every record of offense. We are free from every sense of judgment. Glory be to God. We are free from every sense of condemnation. That is judgment, which is condemnation. We've been delivered and freed from the influence of the law. Glory be to God. So we are forgiven by the gift of eternal life. We are forgiven by being made alive unto God. And I said that eternal life is the proof of eternal forgiveness. As long as a man is alive unto God, he remains forgiven in the sight of God. Glory be to God. So as we have seen so far, forgiveness is in the past tense. Where God is concerned, forgiveness is a done deal. Hallelujah. We've been forgiven. Look at these two portions of scriptures. I like the way Paul gives us instructions to forgive one another based on the fact that Jesus already forgave us, or God in Christ already forgave us. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 32. Forgiveness is a done deal. Hallelujah. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 32. Glory to God. Look at how Paul gives instruction. Bible says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Even as God in Christ forgave you. That is, the forgiveness we have in Christ Jesus has become a pattern, an example of how we ought to forgive one another. Praise God. That's because forgiveness has already been modeled to us. It's been done. So he says we should forgive one another as God in Christ already forgave us. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Glory be to God. Colossians 3 and 13. Hallelujah. Bible says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. As Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Praise God. Have you seen? So God has forgiven us. God has done his part. Note that we are the ones that are meant to keep forgiving. For us, we have not fully forgiven. Praise God. God has already fully forgiven every man. Let's see an example of how this is practiced in the ministry of Paul. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. See how this is practiced. We are the ones to keep forgiving. When a man commits sin in the body of Christ, in the church today, he sins against his fellow men. And then we are the ones to forgive. Praise God. Not God. God already forgave. We are the ones to forgive. We are the ones to bear with one another and to keep forgiving till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Glory to God. I'll read Bible says, but I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad, but the one who is made sorrowful by me? And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy. Having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to an extent. Not to be too severe, this punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him, for to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. In the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, if you are unfamiliar with this portion of scriptures, you may not get what is happening here. Praise God. But Paul is making reference to the man that had an affair with his father's wife. And that case was addressed at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So, they banished the man, they excommunicated him, they denied him some form of fellowship. Hallelujah. They denied him some form of fellowship. Of course, they didn't count him as an enemy, but then they withdrew from him to an extent. So, Paul is saying, let's reaffirm our love to him. Let's forgive him. I have also forgiven him. Let the church forgive him. Praise God. You know, it's amazing that in all the disciplinary measures that were taken against that man, there was not one place where the man was told to go and seek God for forgiveness and plead for mercy. No, it was the church that forgave him. Why? Because God already forgave him in Christ. Hallelujah. So when it was time for the church to relate with him again, it was the church that decided to forgive him and reaffirm their love to him. Glory be to God. You find another instruction at James chapter 5. This one has been taken out of context many times to mean that believers ought to make a list of their sins and confess to God so they can be forgiven. Some also have built a doctrine of people confessing their sins to the priest, which is very funny. James chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, or 14 to 16. Hallelujah. Bible says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Forgiven by who? Verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Confess your sins to one another. The person that forgives today, the people doing the forgiving today, are the believers, are the Christians, forgiving ourselves. Hallelujah. Because God already forgave. This does not mean you should confess your sins to everybody. This means to admit your fault to one another. If you wrong somebody, admit it. That's the word confess. Admit it. Admit you have wronged the person, and then you are forgiven by that person. Glory be to God. Because where God is concerned, God has already forgiven us all in Christ Jesus. And his forgiveness is now a model, an example of how we ought to forgive one another. Glory be to God. So we don't beg God for forgiveness. We don't plead for forgiveness, because in the New Testament, forgiveness is in the past tense. Forgiveness is written in the past tense where our relationship with God is concerned. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for another powerful time in the Word of God. 7 a.m. every day with Jesus. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs. And see you in the next episode.